Hi, guys. Welcome to the 50-Minute Rev. I'm Dr. Missy Hood. I want to welcome you to Friday's Rev. I'm going to try this again here. Had some technical issues. Just got worked out. Hope you're having a good Friday. We're going to do it again. But I got a prophetic word for you today. And I've also got some encouragement for you today, too. You know, it's kind of a strange Friday. I think people aren't really sure what's going on in regards to our nation. Like that. And so I just want to come in and try to hopefully bring some comfort, bring some encouragement, and try to give you some insight as to what's going on. Hi, Ida. Good afternoon. Is there music in the background? I hope I took care of that in the background of my video. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's good to go. Can you let me know that real quick? Happy Friday. How's it going? Hopefully there's no music in the background, right? Can y'all let me know over here? So right on, rock and roll. Let's get going. But I've got a word for you today. I've got some interesting insight for you guys today. I've got a prophetic word. And I first want to tell you about what witchcraft is hitting you with today. Strange things are happening in the spirit because of Roe versus Wade being overturned. And there's several things going on the government mountain right now with these things happening. And so, it's funny too, because like yesterday, I got a call from a good friend of mine this morning, and he is high level in government, retired, and he's always in the know about what's going on. And, I think we're at this place where, so-called, you are bringing it. Yeah, true. So, yeah, it's interesting with where we're at as a nation right now, because, we have a choice. We can either continue to climb, or we can get into fear, and we can get stuck in our flesh and stay where we're at. And so I'm choosing to go higher. I'm not going to believe in what I see with my eyes, because I know my eyes will fail me. And so I asked the Lord about this when I was talking to my friend, and yesterday when I've been talking to the Lord for about 2 days about this. And the Lord told me this. He said, buckle up. I'm about to take you through some things, but not a hair on your head will be harmed. I'm going to preserve you and all you're connected with. But I'm teaching my people how to rule and reign in this hour, to show them and everyone around them where they're seated or where they're not. So he's going to be using the power or the lack of power on our vessels to show us where we're seated at in Christ or where we're not seated. That's what he's showing us. He's got us in a heavy differentiation time to show people who's who. That's what he's doing. And so, and I apologize to you guys on Facebook while I go about that, but thank you guys for joining me. So anyway, if a vessel is still operating in their flesh or self-righteousness, or their version about who they think God is versus who he says he is, he says those vessels are going to find themselves in trouble with no power. Because God has given every heart an ample amount of time to come up the mountain in this hour, to dwell with him in heavenly places. He said, the only way to get there is to know who you serve. You can't serve two masters. And if a vessel is still controlled by their emotions to where they do what they feel like doing instead of what God says is correct through righteousness, then those vessels are probably going to find themselves under judgment. Because God's drawing near some vessels in this season. And we don't want to go putting our mouths all over people. We don't know who they are. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. I was talking in my earlier, I came on once and I had some technical difficulties, so we're doing it again. But I have several mentors. I have three really powerful mentors. And one of them really, really hits home, because he's always talking about not doing what's right in your own eyes. And sometimes we're not always going to understand what God is doing, but especially not putting your mouth all over people, because you don't want to put your mouth on people in this hour, because you don't know who they are. You don't know who God has called someone to be. You don't know the level of anointing they're operating in, or what level in the spirit of love they're operating at. And God takes it personal when you start putting your mouth all over people and you think you know who they are. And we don't know anybody because we don't know the heart. So he's taking it and he's warning us before we enter into this place in this hour. But today, Roe versus Wade was addressed by the Lord. Hi, everybody. And God cut off the innocent blood sacrifices to Baal and Molech. Did you catch that? where the occult can no longer use blood to illegally draw power from without submitting to a power greater than themselves. We don't, there's only one God in the universe. His name is Jesus Christ. And so God is saying, I'm allowing all of creation to see who is God and who is not in this hour. Who has control over everything. God was, he's always in control, whether you believe it or not. And the Lord says, I'm allowing vessels to operate in their earthly power and raising up vessels in this hour to operate in heavenly power to show the world the difference between their ways and my own. And there's a vast difference that we're fixing to start seeing because the Lord says, again, I'm in control. Man's not in control. And that's something, if we can get that understanding and that trust level in the Lord and knowing who's in control and who's not, because that's what I think draws in fear is when we feel like we're out of control. Oh my God, the sky is falling. Chicken little, it's not. God says, I'm upholding everything with my mighty right hand. We just got to trust him. And so from this point on, the Lord's saying, because of what's going on, and because I want to be the Lord of your life, you need to begin inquiring of me and including me in all things that you do, where you travel, when, where and how, what you eat, who you fellowship with, because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is mine, says the Lord. Matter of fact, those that usually choose the flesh are not. They're stuck choosing to serve a different master. And so God is saying, your flesh can cost you in this season. It can cost you mightily. I know it's all a challenge for all of us, but you know, we all have choices every day. We have chances every day to choose life over death. So I believe in this hour, God is giving us the opportunities daily to choose to do things his way, whether we agree with him or not. And sometimes I don't always get why God does what he does, how he does it. And I don't always like it, but you know what? I'll tell you, when I get to the end of that test, I'm very, very happy. And there have been several times this has happened when I didn't know what God was doing. I didn't understand how he was doing it, but I chose to trust him anyway. And I get to the end of that test and I think, oh my God, I'm so glad I listened to you. I am so freaking glad I listened to you. Because had I not, I would have opened up a Pandora's box. That's what happens when we step into these places without understanding, you know, that God is all powerful, that he really is in control. And we think we know more than him. And then we try to handle things our own way. And then you open up a whole can of worms of all this demonic activity that could have been avoided had you just listened to the Lord and done things his way. It's called backlash and retaliation. So there's a way that seems right. But God's saying in this hour, I don't need you putting your mouth all over everything and everyone. That's the honor is the language of heaven. Honor will take you a mighty long way. Even when with people you disagree with people you don't understand in the natural, don't open your mouth about everything. God, they don't always need to know our opinions or your opinions. They don't need to know. So going back to the witchcraft, which witchcraft hitting you with? Because witches and Satanists have tried to gain a legal entry into time, says the Lord, where they can control the narrative with everything that's happening in the earth. But Lord says they've tried to convince themselves that they can attain a legal entrance into heaven by raising up their own gods and applying illegal evil blood covenants to create a life source. Innocent blood sacrifices. That's why today happened. God shut that power source down. He said no. Because you know what that was creating for them? It was allowing them to release blanket spells over America on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level. Why do you think people are acting so crazy? These are spells activated on all of humanity. That's why our legislators don't seem to be in their right minds. They're under a spell. And now that's all been shut down. Boom, just like that. Boom, shakalaka. God says, it's going to be my way or hit the highway. And by the way, it's not the devil's time to come on the scene. It's my time, says the Lord. And I'm not on the devil's clock. He's on mine. Matter of fact, do you know why the Lord cast the enemy down onto the earth? He cast the enemy down onto the earth so that man could rule and reign over him, so that the enemy would be enslaved to man. That was his punishment. But since the devil's the father of lies, he duped man and he turned the narrative. And so now he's got mankind thinking that we're enslaved to him. That's why these things are happening in the natural. You've got all these people in the natural trying to enslave humanity because of what they believe. But if you know that you're called to rule and reign with them in heavenly places, hello, the devil's got another thing coming. He's got a whole nother can of worms that are fixing to be opened up over him by those that choose to rule and reign with Christ in heavenly places. That's why God needs you to get up in the spirit. He needs you to know who you are and whose you are so that you can be a happy camper right there. See, it says right in front of me. You also have to remember in C2, I've told you about C1, C2, C3, and C4. Now we're moving in 4 days, 6 days, we'll be stepping into C3. Hopefully you're ahead of the game, the eight ball there. Hopefully you're already moving into C4 if you're moving quickly in the heart of God. If you know how to move through the heart, you can move really fast through the quadrants and move really fast through the levels. And if you're a front runner, hopefully you already are. But remember in C2, God told us that we were going to be dealing with holy fire versus strange fire at the same time. What does that mean? That means that God's purposefully allowing the enemy to release witchcraft around us to see what we're going to choose. We're going to choose our flesh because witchcraft is tied to the flesh, right? If you're stepping into holy fire, that means you're choosing to abide in Christ and he's abiding in you. And we can ask what we will and he'll do it. So we're learning to keep our position in love, to keep our seats beside him in heavenly places. We're learning to stay positioned in the power position. So it's a place where God uses the unclean to manifest who his people are, who call him by name. They say, Lord, Lord, but are you truly his? To let us see what's inside of us. Who are you serving? Serving yourself? Are you truly serving the king? So God is using his holy fire while allowing the strange fire to test his people to see which ways or whose ways they're going to follow. Will we choose to come higher into the heart and the mind of God, or will we choose to stay stuck in our flesh where everything's limited and easily fizzles out? Continuing to do what's right in our own eyes. That's limiting. That's very limiting. And, you know, I see so many people right now, they react instead of respond to different things. And I get challenged with it too. But, you know, every day we have 24 hours in a day and 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour. All these different opportunities, second by second. All these opportunities. All these testings, every day that we're alive, we have an opportunity to pass testings every day. And then you move forward. And again, my ways aren't God's ways. Your ways aren't God's ways. But he's differentiating between the two now. So in order to come higher, in order to hold court with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, we have to choose to dress ourselves accordingly. Which usually means that God wants to undress us from the flesh or the grave clothes, from generational cursings. And he wants to clothe us with his own spirit or his ways, his speech, allowing heaven to make. And you know, it's interesting in the line with that, the enemy's been trying to clothe us on top of that through the occult by releasing these blanket spells over us. I don't know about you, but in the last couple of days, 3 days, I felt a spirit of oppression, lethargy, heaviness like I haven't ever experienced before. Just major heaviness. And I can feel it affecting the body where people are getting depressed and, oh, what about our nation and what's going on? And I don't know about you, but I believe we serve a happy ending God. He knows the end from the beginning. I've read the end of the book, We Win. And so I'm not stressing. I've had peace in time. God's in control. He's showing us he's in. And so a lot of this I've seen, the heaviness and the oppression, the depression, the lethargy is causing intercessors and frontrunners not to want to engage the enemy or his forces. But today, there's been a major blow to the kingdom of darkness. And it's been set into place to bring down the enemy's ability to come at God's people. Because everything is done through the life source, just not the... See, the enemy knows the power in the blood. Do you realize the power in the blood? I talk about the four quadrants of God's heart. There's chamber one, chamber two, chamber three, chamber four. You have four chambers to your heart, right? You have four chambers to your heart. And by the way, a lot of people, especially if you're following me, you're usually prophetic. You have prophetic giftings. And so you're like little walking, talking radio towers where you walk into atmospheres and hopefully your joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hopefully you're maintaining your joy level, your peace. The closer you draw near to him, the more he puts his presence on your vessel, the more his glory covers you, the more joy you have, the more peace you have, because he's keeping you. And so witchcraft will make you tired. Witchcraft will bring lethargy. And it's strategic. It's strategically sent in to pull you out of the spirit of love, to pull you out of joy, to pull you out of strength, to make you not want to engage. It's strategic to make, because when you have effective prayer warriors praying, hello, we've got all of America praying right now. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, got a lot of people praying. And so we're seeing the power of what prayer can do, but then we've got people still demanding to stay stuck in the flesh, and they're getting and taking matters into their own hands, whether it's with the America or whether it's with different enemies around you. I don't know. You label it, or whether it's with the devil. You can't do things your way in this season because the demons are a little bit bigger than you. The battle is a little bit more fierce. So we need God's help to guide us in these places. But there's power in the blood, and the life source is through the blood of Jesus. God knew this. In chamber two, did you realize the chamber two is the biggest chamber of the heart? And it's the place where the blood is filtered, where things are cleaned up. C2 is chamber two. That's the place we're walking in spiritually in God's heart right now. It's the place where we have an opportunity to get refined. We have an opportunity to say the same, to stay in our flesh, to walk in witchcraft, or to go a higher way, a better way, through the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ. So it's all up to you and what you choose. Choose your ways, then you get to stay the same. You stay on this level. If you choose his, you go higher. But it's a test. And so in this season, the Lord says, I'm bringing my people by way of the ancient paths back to the basics of love, where all hearts have the opportunity to choose who they're going to serve. I'm coming back to take my betrothed, my pure bride, my true bride into heavenly places. I've asked her to marry me, for better or for worse, richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, because I want her to know my ways and my heart and my power. Not a fake power made up through illegal means where the flesh drives man's motives, but where man is seeking my motive in how I would have him do a thing. So in order to come into this place, every man, every vessel will have to take the opportunity. They have the opportunity to choose for themselves who they're going to serve. A foreign God, themselves, or me. It's all up to you based on Matthew 6:24. It says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and man. The Lord says, did you know that I cast the enemy into the earth for man to rule and reign over through my spirit? So if you can't learn to rule and reign as a good king or queen, you will never enter into my courts, because I only hold court with those who choose to stand uprightly in true righteousness, not by doing what's right in their own eyes, but in love. And the Lord says, some of your visions are not mine, because you continue to operate through a critical eye and play God over everyone around you because you think more of yourself than you ought. The Lord says, only I know a heart. And when you place yourself into the judge's seat, you seat yourself at the head of the table, a table you were not invited to, which unseats you, because only I can transform a heart through redemptive power. you do not have the power to redeem or to heal. So quit thinking it's your right to serve as Inspector General and learn to love as I love, says the Lord. Seeing yourself and others with unconditional love instead of self-righteousness or false reality built in false humility. Why do you find it strange that I'm raising up so many truth voices in this hour? It's to show the body the way back into all truth and pureness, back to the ancient pathways of love, the way I see it, instead of from your viewpoint. Your viewpoint is limited, but mine is omniscient. I see big picture. Which brings us to 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7:20, where it talks about doing the impossible. Have you had some pretty impossible situations happen around you? God's all about impossibility. He's all about using, raising up miracle makers. It's all about putting us into impossible situations where we feel like the task is too large. It's just too hard, God. And he said, good. Good. Because I'm fixing to use impossible. Have you felt like your prayer assignments were absolutely unthinkable in this hour? They're just too big, God. It's just too hard, God. And God said, good, but through Christ, you can do all things. And the Lord says, doing the impossible means you need to have the right tools. And everything you have is borrowed. Even your gifts and your callings, which are on loan by the Lord to get his work done. Sorry. But we can lose our cutting edge, even in the church, by continuing to try to chop without an axe head. Or without true resurrection power, which only comes through deliverance and inner healing. Or by trying to do God's work without a true sword placed into your mouth, or the Spirit of the living God that takes you places. Which is based on Psalms 37:23, where you only say and pray what you hear the Father in heaven saying, not your flesh. I'm so sorry for that dog. But attaining God's axe head only comes through trust. Trusting in a power greater than you. You know what happened with the axe? When the men trying to cut down trees and the axe fell in the water, he was using a borrowed axe. An axe is a cutting tool. It's a cutting tool. What are swords used? Swords are used for cutting things. For the word of God is considered the sword of the Spirit. It cuts down to the joints and the marrow as it goes out and accomplishes that which it seeks to accomplish, and it never returns back void. But when you understand what you're cutting with and you understand that the word works every time, a new word in due season, by the way, God, if you're listening and spending time with God daily, you're hopefully getting a new word in due season, fresh manna. You won't be cutting with a dull axe head. If you're operating in an old season or in the flesh, you're operating most likely in an old wineskin or with a dull axe head or without true resurrection power, which only comes through deliverance and inner healing and fresh manna. Or by trying to do God's work without the true word that's been spoken by his Spirit, which can take you place. Not your flesh. But attaining his axe head requires trust. You have to trust him to take you into the new places day by day. And it's an unfolding process, if you will. I don't know about you, but when we pray, we're praying like 3 hours at a time, 4 hours at a time, usually three, thank God. But it's gone over. But I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And it's daily. It's every day. And it's the way we get a fresh word in due season. We're finding out what God is saying in these heavenly places. And so my heart is at peace because my heart has stayed on him. Because I know what he's saying every single day, all day, every day. And so C2's kind of been bittersweet this year because I haven't been worried about, oh my God, witchcraft is just getting out of control. And da 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 da. That's how it can make you feel. It's like you feel like, oh my God, it's just out of control. And oh, I just can't handle this. And it's so much stress on my emotions. And is it ever going to stop? And God's like, yeah, it'll stop if you draw closer to me. Draw closer to me and I'll put my glory on you, and it'll make it stay away. So you can differentiate what's of me and what's of the flesh. And so that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring you up out of the things of the spirit, out of the things of the flesh, to where you're operating in heavenly places with him in the things of the spirit. But as we step into this new place, it's requiring us to go places we've never gone before. So we're having to ask God to help us to recover our axe heads, because we can't go it alone. It's too impossible when we try to go it alone. But with Christ, we can do all things when we trust him. When we allow God to sit in his rightful place of authority, we trust him, meaning we are choosing to allow him to lead us instead of demanding to be our own God. Demanding to be in charge and seeing the true power of a holy God at work, where he shows us his strategy. And then he shows us the strategies of Satan to ward off all of his plans before they ever get to us. That's even better yet. I get encouraged by that, because I know that this has been a really, really unique year for me, because we have entered into a new place and a new level, and we're getting the prayer assignments, and it's kind of like, how do I do this? How do you eat an elephant? And he said, one bite at a time. One bite at a time. You're not going to try to come and save the whole world. That's God's job. You're just going to take care of your portion of kingdom, because we all can't do everything. We're all given our portion of kingdom. And when we try to handle everything, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. So he's saying, let me handle this, and I'm going to use you, and I'm going to flow through you. And God says, if I'm for you, who can be against you? Which allows you to accomplish the unthinkable. We're in the season of Elijah versus Jezebel. Are you aware of that? So as both were front runners, were you aware of that? Elijah was a front runner and Jezebel's a front runner. Elijah's the front runner for Jesus Christ. Jezebel's the front runner for the Antichrist. Both front runners. The spirit that you submit to is the spirit that flows through. Jezebel is contingent upon all your negative emotions. When you've given way to the flesh and you refuse to grow up, so the flesh rules and is king over your life. Where Elijah is all about trusting God. He went and sat. God said, I'm going to take you down by the brook. The ravens are going to feed you. And I'm going to provide for you. And you're going to trust me in all things. And so he had to trust the Lord there. He trusted him, and God fed him every single day. Every day, because he trusted him. But both were front runners, or are front runners. And so, I don't know about you. There's also, we're in a season right now where God is raising up the Josephs, okay? Hi, JD. But God is raising up the Josephs. And if you're a Joseph, that means that you've probably been tested in a few things the last 30 years, which God has lifted you up for such a time as this, but he had to test you because you're going to be used as a new leader in this season to help be used by God for revival. But in order for God to use you, he had to purify you so that you could house this new move of God, which is based on pureness and the love of God, the gift of God, which is the love of his presence on your vessel. Okay? So some are given the gift of joy, others faith. Very few are given the gift of love from birth, but you had to learn to walk with him through a few things. What does that have to do with Elijah, Jezebel? Think about this. It's all making sense in a second. Who are the two people in the Bible that we know were resurrected? They never died in that. Enoch, Elijah. Okay? Both entered in through resurrection power. Okay, so if you know anything about Joseph then, Joseph was the second in command over Egypt. Okay, he served underneath Pharaoh, but we don't serve Pharaoh. We don't serve with Pharaoh. But if you know anything about the word, then you know that God says in his word that I've called you to ride in my second chariot with me. The chariot of God. Second in command. Seated beside him in heavenly places. Just like Joseph, with the spirit of Joseph, with the gift of love, with the mantle of Elijah. Show and be used by God to show his people the way back home to his heart. Many are called, were chosen. You had to be qualified. If I've lifted you up for such a time as this, many are called, few are qualified. Few people are getting qualified because they're refusing to get cleaned up so God can use their vessel for power and for love, with resurrection power, to stay seated beside him in heavenly places. So it's taking us in a different pathway. And if you're still stuck in your emotions, where your emotions rule over your life, chances are Jezebel is who you're following. The Elijahs are the true remnant, running straight into God's heart. And there's no bitterness of soul there. And in fact, bitterness and forgiveness only reside in a fleshly heart, which lead to choices directed by a heart full of death. Remember, I've talked to you about the Zodiac and the Maseroth. The Zodiac is the devil's clock, the devil's heart. The Maseroth is God's clock, God's heart. And so your Zodiac is the month you're born into. It has your personal characteristics that you were birthed into the earth with, but that's limited power. It's earthbound. If you choose to stay there, that's all you're going to get. You're going to toil all your days. If you come into salvation with Christ, God lays his clock on top of yours through the Maseroth, and your name gets changed, Jacob, to Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And you start entering through this process of C1, C2, C3, C4, where you start moving through the personality of God's heart and his transformation power, his attributes. But you have to get your stuff off so you can make room for him. Take your clock stuff off, make room for his spirit. And right now, in 6 days, we're moving into C3, moving up into the higher dimensions of God's heart, into the seven spirits of God. If you've been faithful in getting free in C1 and C2 through deliverance and inner healing, that qualifies you for promotion. But if not, then there's going to be a differentiation happening. And we're going to see whose axe head you wield. So there are two types of axe heads that are represented in this hour for power. And it's all in how we use it, or our actions driven by what's in our heart. And I'm seeing this in the body. I'm seeing hate, rage, bitterness of soul, or people who have an axe to grind, usually used by Jezebel, the devil's front runner, Balaam's prophets, immature people. Some of them are even believers, but they refuse to get free from spirit. That you know that spirit will get you sent to hell. You understand that? That's the front runner for the devil. So if you continue following your own ways, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death, right? I'm not trying to make you afraid. I'm telling you the straight up truth. And then there are people that are motivated by love. They're motivated by truth. God is truth. God is love, which is where we allow the axe head to float. We're trusting him, allowing God to be in charge of everything, including us in our hearts, our actions, our prayers, being used by God to create miracles around us as we learn to follow him in his way. We'll start walking in resurrection power, which allows you to do the impossible. Make it through the impossible. God will preserve you in the most impossible places, and not a hair on your head will be touched, enduring the most tumultuous season. Let me tell you, that's a cool place to stay. That's a cool place to abide in, because when you see everybody going through hell around you. Have you ever been in the eye of the storm before? I have. I've been in a job before where I saw all hell letting loose around me. I mean, we were going through a buyout, a merger, and I could feel the chaos and everybody's fear. And I felt like I was in the eye of the storm. I had peace because God had already shown me a year prior I was going to get laid off, but I had peace. I was joyful. I was happy. I'd already taken my desk down. No one knew it. They just thought I was, you live simply, or whatever they call that. You don't have a whole lot. I'm sure they thought that's what I was doing. But I cleaned my whole desk off. And then the Lord told me, he said, I want you to make a how-to book about how to do your job. And I said, I'm not doing that. These people are crazy. You go tell them how to do my job. He said, no, Missy, you're gonna tell them how you do your job, and you're gonna leave this place better than you found it. And he goes, I want them to know that I was here. I obeyed. And I was glad I obeyed. I was glad I did what he said, because it left in better standing. And I actually had it ready like for 4 months prior to my getting laid off. And he showed me this little mini movie about exactly what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, who was going to lay me off, my boss. And exactly what he showed me happened. Exactly. And I knew that I was walking in the perfect will of God. So I had no fear. Absolutely none. Now, after that, when you start into the transition process, which is doing the impossible, and you're so happy to get there, you're like, yeah, I finally made it over into this new place. But then that takes some hard work, because then you got to pray your way into the new. So that really required a lot of faith and me trusting God with very little to no finances and being pushed to the end of, you know, different having to pay bills and things like that. And coming to the end, very, 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 very end, sometimes over into the red. And right when I thought, oh, I'm going to make it, boom, he provides out of nowhere. That's doing and learning how to do the impossible. That's the place he's moving the remnant right now. He's moving you off man's systems into God's system, because he knew this time was coming. He knew this time and this season where we're now walking was coming. Which brings us to Acts 15:36-16:15. When not everybody's going to get you, they're not going to understand where God has you. And it speaks about when believers disagree. And this incident happened when Paul refused to conduct ministry with John Mark at Barnabas' request, because Paul felt that John Mark should have finished what God had told him to do, and John Mark chose to do things a different way, the way God had instructed him to. So God allowed them to separate because of differences of opinions and how God does things. They were on different spiritual pages. How many times do we meet believers who think they have the right to tell us what we should be doing? Or by trying to play God over other people's lives around themselves? I see it all the time. I see it in church. I see it with leadership. I see it with people abusing their gifts. I see it with people manipulating other people through the prophetic gift and trying to make people, drive people down pathways that God hasn't led them down yet. God made those hearts. We didn't. However, I will say this. When it comes to order and honoring authority, there's a way that seems right, but you have to follow God or you wind up in a bar ditch or in death. But God is all about order. He's a God of order. So you have to honor authority. And so sometimes leaders will be shown a word of God over you. So when you submit to leadership, you're submitting to Christ on their life so that you can actually step up into the higher places. That's called listening to the prophets. When you listen to a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. And that really comes in knowing how to flow with God, trusting the Lord on those vessels that lead you, the shepherds that lead you. But sometimes then too, we have to understand like what we're seeing in this season too. We're seeing the church is the true church of Christ rise up with true leadership versus sick churches try to rise up in their own might and in their own power. And they're trying to do it in the flesh. And it's usually through Jezebel, and it's a mess. It's a mess. So we have a whole lot of people beating each other up. They're abusing each other in prayer. They've got false prophecy. They're like the blind leading the blind. So there's a differentiation of the truth versus the lie. God's making it black and white. So in this situation with Paul, John Mark, and Barnabas, Barnabas and John Mark chose to set sail for Cyprus, and they allowed Paul to go his own way. And I actually believe this was God's way of keeping peace. I actually believe, too, this is the right way to keep the peace, because God said, blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God, but blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll inherit the kingdom. And this is actually what true Christians used to do when they disagreed with one another. But now we see people doing what's right in their own eyes. And so I'm seeing people harass and stalk people. They're bullying people around them. I was talking to my mentor about this yesterday. She said, Don't go putting your mouth on people. You don't know who they are. And she said, don't let me catch you doing that. And I was like, well, I hope I'm not doing that. But don't go putting your mouth on people in prayer and demanding this and prophesying that and decreeing that, especially if they're in leadership. You don't know that heart. You can get yourself in deep kimchi. You can get judged, especially with where the Lord is drawing his presence on and who he's putting it on this hour. You don't know who's who. You know, there's a way that seems right to us, but it leads us into death, and it can get you judged by a holy God. Because I've sensed that God is growing very weary of it. And let me tell you, when God judges, I'm seeing God in this hour do things fast. He's doing things very fast. Like there'll be a pause, and we'll be moving through, praying through, prophesying, decreeing, and we'll be moving through the transitions of unfolding where we learn the ways of God, and you learn how he unfolds a thing, and you're seeing God do things fast. But I'm also seeing God judge people fast now. It's happening faster because of vessels choosing to get cleaned up and come near him. So just because we're on different spiritual pages and levels, like Paul, John, Mark, and Barnabas, doesn't give us the right to judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. By your words, you're acquitted. By your words, you're condemned. You what you sow. God says, I'm God, and you're not saying. So when we come into the courts of heaven and we're behaving like that and thinking God's going to hear your prayers, when you're coming in and you're full of venom, like a rattlesnake, and you think God's going to listen to that, he's like, okay, go ahead. And then you open up a whole Pandora's box over yourself, because now what's happened is that you've started a ping pong match between you and other ministries, or you and other people, that could have been avoided had you just done what God told you to do. Pick your battles. And for those of you who don't forgive easily and you don't know how to let things go easily, find yourself in a whirlwind. You sow the wind and God keep the whirlwind. That's what's going to happen. It's already happening. And the Lord says, pick your battles. And so if you're on a more mature level, then, believe it or not, you're charged with being the bigger person and allowing the less mature believer or non-believer do whatever they're going to do. Let them do what they're going to do. Bless them. Move on. Unless God's instructed you otherwise, because there will come a time where he uses vessels to decree judgment. Stop it. He said, stop it, because this isn't an hour when God wants you to get caught up in bickering. He said, I've got bigger fish for you to fry, intercessor, front runner. But the problem is, we have a lot of people who've been raised around bickering and strife. It's all they've ever known. They stir it up wherever they go. The Lord's saying, avoid them. These are Jezebel sent into the church to hinder my unity. They think they're okay, but what they refuse to realize is that I'm going to meet them more than halfway, and I'm going to forcefully make them move out of the way so that my plan can come to pass instead of the devil's. The Lord says, I'm not on his clock. He's on mine. And if you're going to flow through that spirit, the spirit that you submit to is the spirit that flows through you. If you're going to flow in that spirit, the Lord says, I'm going to judge it because it's not of my kingdom, and I'm cleaning house right now. I'm moving things out of the way that are not of kingdom, and I'm making a way where there is no way for my kingdom to come, my will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Lord's saying, and by the way, if another believer, especially a leader, ever tries to recruit you to pray witchcraft prayers with them or to agree with them for evil, the Lord says, get away from them. Run. That's not my way. It'll get you judged. And it'll disqualify you from climbing higher in me in this hour. Because I'm not putting up with it anymore. I'm looking for a mature bride. Not one who just wants to war all the time. I need a bride who understands healthy relating. And healthy relationships shouldn't always be about warring and having to have your own way. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll inherit the kingdom of heaven. Which brings us to Psalms 142, 1 through 7. And God's talking about assurances. There are certain things when you abide in Christ and he abides in you that you can be assured of. Trust him. You can trust him. Take him to the bank. That when God tells you he's going to do something, and that comes with understanding the ways of God and the patterns of God and the unfolding things of God. When I've walked with God in past seasons, and just because I've been promoted into a different level and the testing or the assignment's gotten a little bit bigger, if I know his faithfulness in past seasons, I can trust it. He's a God that doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you know him like that and you trust him like that, and you've gotten promoted by him, I mean, that means you have been found faithful, where he can trust you with the bigger things. He's given you a larger place to start to rule and reign over because you've been faithful. You've been faithful. But there are certain things you can trust him with when he's got you walking through difficulty. Kind of like he told me regarding America. He said, I will preserve you when you choose to walk in my ways, because I take care of those close to my heart. I keep guard over my heart like I tell you to guard yours. Lord says, but I especially keep guard over those that I hold dear. I guard you. In this season, Lord's saying, I'm teaching you that I hear your prayers. But I'm also showing you that there is a certain type of praying that you have to operate in. I've shown you the four levels that I've matured you through. The first level was, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You prayed the prayer of the Father. And it transformed into, or it evolved into binding and loosening. Thank you, Lord. Binding and loosening. We thought we'd really arrived then. And then it evolved into decreeing a thing. And now it's even evolved into a higher level of ruling and reigning in the courts of heaven. That's the new tool for prayer. Learning to pray in the court of confession. Decreeing a thing. And you're learning to flow with God, with his heart, into the place where you only flow, say, and pray what you hear your Father saying, Psalms 37, 23. If you don't know what to do, ask him to order your words, order your footsteps. If you don't know where to go in a thing, ask him to order your words and order your footsteps away from evil, order evil away from you. That is the biggest tool that I've ever found, Psalms 37, 23, but especially in the courts. Ask him to order your footsteps, order your words. Even when you feel like you're stuck in a cave, like David, with no one to talk to about your circumstance. That's what's going on. I don't know if you've noticed it. A lot of intercessors feel like they've gotten cabin fever this hour. Like they just want to run away. We feel like we should be going to the beach or going somewhere, doing something because it's summer, but we're not in a season like other seasons. We've never been in this place before, and so it's required something more of us in this season. And we can't run away from it because everywhere we run right back into the pressure. So God's like, how about you run into me? How about you just run into me? Run into my spirit. Run in and stay and abide in me, and I'll abide in you and keep your appointments with me. I'll keep watch over you. That's what he's saying. Because God's saying, if you don't faint and you don't give up, even though I've given you a huge prayer assignment, in just a little while, I'm fixing to burst through in you to bring you to the place you've always been. You see, the other half of this battle consists of the fact that the devil knows that many Josephs with the mantle of Elijah are also being sent in for the new places, the high places. So he's also trying to counter us by sending in Jezebels, or their false prophets, false intercessors, fake Christians stuck in the flesh to delay, create havoc, all as a part of the warfare spoken of during this war season. Have you been listening to the prophets? We're in a war season. The next 4 months, it's going to intensify. Because we're trying to take land now. We're trying to break out of the old and into the new. So when you try to break out of a smaller atmosphere, because God is getting ready to do the transfer of wealth, by the way. And so as you're being used to war your way through Christ in your life, And maybe things haven't, my guess, this is me saying, this is my guess from all the puzzle pieces that I can put together so far, is that a lot of people are going to be skipping levels. He's already got us starting to do. We're skipping levels in this. And he's not just doing it one level at a time. He's doing it like 100 levels at a time or 1,000 levels at a time, depending upon how much room you're making for him that he can fill you back up with and how much you can handle of his presence. That's where a lot of us are at. And so he's making up for lost time is what I'm saying. He's having you, what do they say? He's redeeming the time. That's kind of exciting about that. So this is a war season. But it's during the heat of battle, the Lord is saying, when things get hot in the next 4 months, I need you to bring your frustrations to me so that you don't get pulled back into the old places. Now, C4, we're moving into C3 in 6 days. C4, you need to understand that we're going to be moving into the things, the high places of the Spirit. C4 is September, October, November, December. So there's a lot of angelic activity during those months. But it's also the battle between the serpent and the eagle. Okay? I want so bad to tell you something, but he won't let me go. Dang. Talk on it. And it's good. Why can't I go? I'll obey. I'm so sorry. But it is. So it's exciting because of the transformation process that happens there. So in C4, you're going to digress. You're going to go back into your old ways and you're going to stay stuck. And go back into the ways of the serpent, the flesh, Jezebel. Or you're going to continue obeying the Lord and doing what he says is right versus what you feel like doing, what you think is right. You're going to obey him in all things. And you're going to continue moving upward and upward and upward. That's how that works. And so I really want to tell you that, but I can't. So it's in the heat of battle. He's saying, I want you to keep your mind and heart stayed on me, that I can change you and qualify you for the higher dimensions of love. The Lord says, choose life. Always remember, choose my ways. I have no other choice if you don't. When you choose to do what's right in your own eyes, the Lord says, I have to spew you out of the land because, again, you can't serve too much. You can't. So besides, God says, in this new place, I know my Davids. I know who's got a heart for me. And I'm differentiating the two in this hour to show my people who's who. And it's going to become very, very apparent between the false prophets and the true prophets. Those with a heart for Christ, the heart of love, versus those only serving themselves. It's going to become so black and white. Especially in the next 4 months. And the Lord says, but if you do this, if you come near me and you're seeking me with the heart of David, Lord says, I can help spare you from the traps that the devil has set up for you all along the way. Because I know how to help you avoid them and I know how to get you out of them. If not, to totally thwart them. That's why I want you to keep appointments with me, says the Lord. God also knows your frustration during these times of war while you make your way forward. And it's why he wants to guide you through all things so that you don't get stuck in. Trust him in these. Trust him in these stands. He knows what it's like for some of you leaders. He's got it all planned out. I mean, and sometimes it's going to get scary. God has lifted you up for such a time as this, and if he didn't qualified, you wouldn't be where you're at. Some of you have disqualified yourselves because of come out from underneath the apparatus of religion and politics. God's like, it's not about that in this hour either. It's all about me. Says, but these are the things that David knew about the Lord. He knew the Lord was with him because he trusted him. He spent time with him. And David knew that God was enough. Whether he abased or he abounded, he knew God was enough. And he was able to praise his way right on through C2. Can you praise your way through C2? Or does C2 get your goat? Does it stress you out? Let the witchcraft get the best of you. Because if you can get to this place as an intercessor or a front runner, where it doesn't matter if you're abasing or abounding, it doesn't matter what kind of pressure you've got on you, you know how to break it off and continue to march. Keep your eye on the prize and you pray every day, you keep your appointments with God, and you're continuing to march. and you're learning the patterns and the way that God unfolds a thing, and you're just waiting for the next unfolding, you're waiting for that next release to show you where the old thing has been prayed through and you're starting a new assignment, or maybe you're continuing on and maybe you're trudging through the mud some days and you're making headway the next days. I'm just giving you some ideas of what it feels like sometimes. But you know the patterns of God. You know how to pray and decree a thing. You know how to co-create. You know how to rule and reign. You know how to move the devil out of the way and to keep your face set on target where nothing moves you out of position. That's what God's goal is for you in this hour. Which brings us to, as we wrap up today, popping out at about 4:36 with Proverbs 17:24-25. And God said, wisdom is before him that has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. He's focused on, he's earthbound, basically. And then it says, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bore him. So you're gaining understanding. You're starting to learn how God does things now, hopefully. Starting to learn how to do things God's way, hopefully. And you're putting away your own ways. Because you're realizing you need a sharp axe, a sharp sword in order to move ahead in the times for which we live. A sharp sword means obtaining more of the Spirit of God on your vessel. You're moving into. Are you encouraged? I'm encouraged. It brings me great peace when I know what God is saying and I know what's going on the earth. It makes me very, very happy. So I hope you're happy like I am. But anyway, I hope you've had a great Friday. I want to welcome you to the 15-Minute Rev. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. We do these on Tuesdays and Fridays. Actually, I moved them to Tuesday to kind of give you time to watch it over the weekend so we're not rushing you. Try to catch the replay. And also because it's summer and it's just kind of a funky time, right? I think it's funky spiritually, but you know what? We're in a great place. There's nothing to be afraid about. I think that in God is in charge. He's always been in control. He'll always be in control. It's all about me trusting him. So hopefully I'll catch you on Tuesday. We'll do this again. And if not, then maybe next Friday. But until I see you again, you guys have a great weekend. And I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.